Today's readings are difficult for a priest to hear. In the first reading from Malachi in the Old Testament, God calls out the Jewish temple priests, saying, "And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you do not listen, of your blessing I will make a curse." And in the gospel, Jesus similarly goes after the Jewish leaders of his day, the Pharisees, the scribes, often called rabbis. He repeatedly derides them, saying things like, "Do not follow their example, for they preach, but they do not practice." Now, it's important to realize that in Malachi, God is not criticizing the priesthood itself. He's not against priests as priests. He's against bad priests. And how does he define bad priests? He says, You have turned aside from the way and have caused many to falter by your instruction. You have made void the covenant. You do not keep my ways. You violate the covenant of our fathers." They're bad priests because although they've been given so much, they abuse and waste it all. They are the custodians of all the treasures of God's revelation, handed down from the teaching of Moses and the prophets, but they don't hand it on to the people, and they don't live by it themselves. Instead, they lead the people into sin by their bad example, so contrary to the covenant. They've abused the blessing of the priesthood, and now the priesthood will become a curse for them. They will be punished for being bad priests. In the gospel, Jesus does much the same thing to the Pharisees and the scribes. Now, as a backdrop, remember that the chief priests of the Jewish temple during Jesus' time were all Sadducees, not Pharisees. But the Sadducees were a group of Jews who didn't believe in the whole Old Testament. They left most of the books out, and they just accepted part of it. So they were not very faithful to the covenant of the fathers. They were not very good Jews, much less good priests, which is exactly why the pagan Romans put the Sadducee priests in charge of the temple. So when Jesus says that it's the Pharisees, not the priests, who've taken their seat on the chair of Moses, he's indirectly but clearly criticizing the Sadducee priests for being the same kind of bad priests that we find criticized in Malachi. They do not keep the covenant of the fathers. So then he turns to the Pharisees as the Orthodox Jews, the rabbis, if you will, and recognizes them as de facto leaders of Israel, just as the priest should be. But then he criticizes them for being bad leaders. He says things like, they widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love seats of honor in the synagogue, and they love the salutation, "Rabbi." Now, a phylactery, there's nothing wrong with phylacteries. A phylactery is a tiny box that held a little tiny piece, a little scroll of scripture. A little scroll with some words of scripture written on it. And a pious Jew would wear this little box on their forehead or on their wrist to show that they were obedient to the covenant. Now, there's nothing wrong with that at all in itself. It's like today we wear a crucifix or something to show that we believe in God, and it's a public witness to our faith. And so there's nothing wrong with the Pharisees, with the phylacteries themselves. And the tassels also weren't horrible. Pious Jews would wear them on the hems of their garment as a sign of their faith in God, that he had called them to be his very special people, the chosen people. In fact, the reason they do this is because in the book of Numbers, God told them to, quote, "Make tassels on the corners of your garments that you may look upon them and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them." It's much like a scapular, reminding us, right? Even when people don't see him, we know it's there, and so it reminds us to follow the Lord through Mary. And this commandment, if you will, or this law, was probably why Jesus himself wore tassels on his garments, as the gospel tells us in four different places he did. The problem with the Pharisees and their phylacteries and tassels was not that they wore them, but they made a big deal out of them, but didn't live up to what they symbolize. So what Jesus is doing is what he often does with the Pharisees. Even though they teach what Moses taught, they don't keep it themselves. They're hypocrites. They only pretend to keep the covenant in an outstanding way and say that with these big phylacteries. But in fact, they keep it in an outstandingly bad way. Again, like the priests in Malachi's time and Jesus' time, the Pharisees hold a treasure in their hands, but they abuse it, using it to make themselves look good and leading their people to hell by their bad example. They also have received many blessings, but now their blessings will become a curse to them. Nowadays, we have much the same problem in the church. For the last few decades, we've seen all too many priests abuse their blessings as priests. Most horribly and notably, we saw this a few years ago with all the stories of priests who abused their position of authority and trust as spiritual fathers to sexually abuse their children. It was and is despicable. As Jesus says elsewhere of the hypocritical Pharisees, "You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of hell?" But there's also been a less publicized way in which priests have abused their blessings, a way that is, in an important sense, just as bad as those sexual cases. Catholic priests today are the custodians of all the riches of our Catholic faith, handed down through the apostles from Christ and through their successors, and clarified by the great theologian saints throughout the centuries. Truly what can be called, in the words of Malachi, the covenant of our fathers. But all too often, in the last few decades, too many Catholic priests have abused that blessing. Like Malachi's priests, they abandoned the covenant of our fathers. Like Jesus' Pharisees, they made a big deal about their importance as teachers, pridefully loving public attention and being called experts and visionaries. These Catholic priests widened their metaphorical phylacteries, pointing to all their special learning and knowledge of things that their holy predecessors from ages past just didn't understand. They lengthened their tassels, claiming to be the truly special ones, chosen by God to enlighten the church with new teachings that the apostles, fathers, and saints of ages past would never recognize. They exalted themselves and they humbled the great fathers of our faith. Like priests like St. Paul, St. Augustine, St. Thomas Aquinas, and St. Francis de Sales. These modern priests know more and know better than the great saints, fathers, and apostles. Now, we used to call this the heresy of Gnosticism, but today these modern hypocritical Pharisee priests call it enlightened discernment. Sadly, in the last few years, this type of priest has come to the forefront once again, using the blessings of their priesthood not to serve, but to master faithful Catholics. They lay new burdens on people's shoulders, which they themselves refuse to carry. They tell us that we must accept the new things that they teach, even if we find them confusing or heretical, while they themselves refuse to accept the old teachings of priests like St. Matthew the Evangelist and St. John Paul II. So many priests, including bishops and cardinals, have abused their blessing. They are teaching as human. They are teaching human words as if they were the Word of God. And so their blessing has now become a curse. Because of the sex abuse scandal, the Catholic priesthood itself is demeaned, and even the best priests are held suspect. And because of the teaching abuse of bad priests, the teaching of all priests is easily ridiculed and called, well, that's your personal opinion, even when the priest is quoting directly from the Holy Scriptures. In today's gospel, Jesus derides the Pharisees for taking pride in being called rabbi or teacher or father, reminding us that there is only one teacher, one rabbi, one father, God. But the thing is, Jesus isn't saying here that you can never call anybody on earth your teacher or father. He doesn't mean it literally in that sense, because what else would you call the person who, you know, is in school and teaches? You have to call them a teacher. That's what they do. And what else would you call that man who's married to your mother and lives at home with you? You have to call him your father. That's what he is. And it's all right to call priests teacher and father, and for priests to love to hear that, as long as you never forget what Jesus was trying to say, and that is that the authority that they have comes from God alone. And any priest who uses that authority given to him by God in a way contrary to God's fatherly teaching is not a true father and not a true teacher. He's simply a hypocritical Pharisee. Now, no priest is exempt from abusing his position, his blessings as a priest. Priests, we're all human. We all make mistakes. We all commit sins. No priest is perfect. Even the smallest abuse is wrong. But these kinds of sins that I'm talking about, these are grave abuses that are what St. Paul calls contemptible and what I call condemnable. So this is the challenge to the priest today, to hold tight to the covenant God made with our fathers, to humbly teach what has been handed down to us, to lead our flocks with a servant's heart, and to practice what we preach. It is a great thing to be a priest. What a blessing to have all these gifts and graces. And what an abomination and a curse to abuse this blessing, especially by not teaching what has been entrusted to us. We don't need priests like that, but we do need good and faithful priests. We need this of the men who are already ordained, so pray for your priests and encourage them to be faithful to the covenant of our fathers. But we also need this of the men who will be ordained. And we need men to come forward to accept this blessing of the vocation to the holy priesthood. It is true that the priestly life can be hard sometimes. But it's not really harder or much harder than the life of the father of a family. Like the father of a family, we have to worry about keeping the house warm and the lights on. We need to pay the bills and save for the future. Sometimes we have to get up in the middle of the night to take care of our children. And sometimes we have to tell them things that they don't want to hear or tell them no, even when it makes them very angry at us, even when they say things like, I hate you. And they do say that to us. But there are also so many blessings to be a priest. To be loved and respected by so many because they see us as their fathers. And they believe that we do, in fact, sit on the seat of Moses. To be custodians of all the treasures of God's revelation, what we call the deposit of faith, and to share it with his children who are all our children. To lead them to happiness in heaven. To be so close to Christ as we stand in persona Christi, especially in the confessional and most sublimely at the altar. So with all these blessings, why don't we have more vocations to the priesthood? There are many reasons that we can talk about. But I think to a large part that one of the biggest reasons is because the abuse of the blessings of the priests, the abuse of the blessings of the priesthood has become a curse on priestly vocations. Young men have seen the example of too many bad priests who were not faithful to the covenant of our fathers. Who would want to give up their whole life for that? When I was much younger, I did not want to give up my life for that, as I saw the example of so many bad priests. It wasn't until a few years later, you know, when I was a little older, when I realized that there really are a lot of good priests out there, and a few great priests. In that time, Pope John Paul II and Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger stood out as amazing priests. And so it occurred to me that maybe I could be different. Maybe I could be a good priest. May God forgive me for my many failures. So we need good priests. Priests who will be strong and brave in the face of persecution and insult, who will be fathers, who will bear the sword of truth to protect and serve their children and their wife, Holy Mother Church, by laying down their lives to protect them from all who would harm them or lie to them. Priests that will not make the blessings of the priesthood serve their own selfishness, but rather will be faithful to the covenant of our fathers in Christ. So to all unmarried men and boys, I say, have you ever thought or prayed about being that kind of good priest? If not, you should. And you should talk to your parents and maybe to a good priest that you know. And you should pray for the courage and the love to do God's will. Because the thing is, we need you. If God is calling you, and if you want to be a good and faithful priest. And if you're a mom or dad or brother and sister, and you want your son or your brother to have all the blessings that God has in store for him, have you considered that one of the greatest blessings, perhaps the greatest blessing he has in store for them, is the priesthood? And have you encouraged and prayed for him in that regard? And all the rest of you, you also need to pray and encourage these men and boys, because we all need good priests. And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you do not listen, of your blessing I will make a curse. As we enter more deeply into this holy mass, let us all now turn toward the Lord together and pray for the priests of the church and all those men and boys who are being called to join them, that by the grace of Christ, especially poured out in the Eucharist, they may answer and always be truly worthy of the blessings of their holy calling. May they be courageous leaders and humble servants, and may they always be faithful to the covenant of our fathers. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.